From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market reported as the 5th day of April, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear from the state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota, the first crop progress report of the year. Gary Schnitke will be here discussing the price of nitrogen and the conflict in Ukraine and how they're related and what that means for producers here in Illinois and across the Midwest and around the nation. And then we'll also take up a discussion of the weather forecast, speaking of the nation, that with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today settled at $7.59¾. That was up 9¼ cents. July at $7.48¼, up 9. In December, the harvest month, up 7½ for new crop at $7.06½ a bushel. The May soybean, $16.31¾. The settlement price higher. July at $16.14, up 25. In November, up 16 cents at $14.55¾. Bean meal, $10.80 higher. The bean oil for the day, up 7 cents. Wheat futures, soft red in the July harvest month, up 35½ at $10.45½. And the hard red July at $10.84¼, up 45 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished at $133.32½, $1.60 higher. The feeders up $159, for $3.47½. Higher in lean hogs at $114.35 per 100 pounds, $1.80 higher. Crude oil at $101.99 a barrel, now down about $1.30 for the day. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, is now here to discuss what's been happening in Chicago. Hey, thanks, Wayne, for talking with me again today. I guess, is it about Ukraine and Russia and the conflict again today? Is that the reason markets went higher?
Well, that sure didn't hurt anything, but the real reason in my world and in all of the news stories I read was the wheat ratings, second lowest ever, down 10% more than what they were looking for. And with the idea that wheat, one of the big places is, which then you were talking about the war and the whole bit, hard to get out of is Russia and the Ukraine. And that did really pop the wheat, and the wheat pulled everything to start with. But as the day went on, you know, we heard some announcements of some Russian corn, not Russian, Chinese corn buying, and ideas that they might buy more. And ideas they might buy some beans and stuff too along the way here to replace what they've been auctioning off. So all those things together made us a pretty happy day, or a green day on the screen.
Yeah, so the wheat ratings were for the United States, I think 47% compared to 27% this year compared to 47% last year in those good to excellent categories. Just not a very good rating. And of course, we've been talking about this for a long time, that the wheat, the hard red winter wheat crop in Kansas, particularly in Oklahoma, is not in good condition. Doesn't sound like they'll be getting enough rain to make that any better either.
No, you look at the forecasts and by golly, it just looks like we're going to, you know, June to August, the Great Plains to east to the Mississippi River looks pretty dry. I mean, we're going to see, the deepening of that central drought area out there. If, you know, we had always told us we couldn't predict accurately that far out. But on all the weather maps, it sure doesn't look like anything but dry weather out during that area to carry on. Nothing to save us right now in any of the weather maps or charts out there.
On the other hand, here in Illinois, Indiana, the Midwest in general, is certainly east of the Mississippi River. It has been wet. Not many good days for drying. The planters really haven't rolled, and it's been cold too. I guess that will start to play into the market at some point, though the market doesn't really get worried for at least a month about weather in the Midwest. Will it get worried earlier this year because of the wheat crop?
I think it'll get worried a little bit earlier just because of the lack of acres for the total world planting that we're talking about and keep talking about. Why we're seeing this rally is because of the cutback, like you say, Ukraine is a big question mark on how much they're going to get planted and how much they could ship out otherwise. But they're not going to be heavy on corn and beans. They're going to be more on cereal grains, I think, to make sure they can feed their population. And Russia, still, I mean, they might, but there's going to be the repercussions of who's going to trade with them, what's going to be happening like that away. So I think we're going to be watching how many acres get planted and the progress every week very, very closely. But we won't get terribly worried until we get down another 3 weeks.
What else is on your list of things we ought to discuss for today? Anything?
Well, you know, WASDE should probably lower the U.S. corn and soy ending stocks on Friday. Then the South American crops will probably also be lower because you know, they've improved a lot, but they haven't got any better in the last couple of weeks, and it looks like it's going to stay dry down there. And, you know, the Argentine truckers are talking about another strike. The last thing we need is Brazil and Argentina and the U.S., you know, continuing to supply the world with grains right now.
And of course, USDA will release the WASDE, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, at 11 o'clock on Friday morning. We'll have those numbers, as you mentioned, out on our website at willag.org. Expectations, as you discussed already, from the trade is for USDA to lower again the crop in Brazil. Will they come down to 124 or 125?
You know, that's a big question mark, but if they do, why then, you know, these prices continue to have reason to stay higher as we go along. But, you know, like I say, we'll take a look. We'll hope that their crops can be a little better because we do need the grain for the world market out there right now.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Well, this week, the United States Department of Agriculture and National Agricultural Statistics Service picked up the weekly crop progress reports for the spring season. It shows now that 2% of the corn crop around the nation has been planted. That compares the rolling five-year average of 2%. There are a couple of places that are notable. Kansas, at this time, has 2% of their crop planted, and that is normal with the five-year average. By the way, Kansas had 5 working days suitable for field work last week. Nebraska does not have corn planted, at least not above the 1% level, and it had 5.5 days suitable for field work. Checking out on the winter wheat, there are a few states that are well ahead, meaning that they're well ahead of the rest of the country, and usually are. Winter wheat headed this week is now 23% in Texas. The normal range there is 22%. The rest of the nation is not nearly that far along. Of course, it's mostly just coming out of the winter stages. By the way, the condition of the crop is said to be 27% good and 3% excellent. There wasn't a condition rating last week. This week, however, compared to last year, is well off. Last year, this week was 47% good and 6% excellent. Again, this year it's 27% good and 3% excellent. Now, here are updates from statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota.
This is Melissa Bond. Precipitation and cold conditions limited Iowa farmers to 1.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending April 3, 2022. When and where possible, field work activities including applying anhydrous and fertilizer, spreading manure, and planting oats. Topsoil moisture levels rated 9% very short, 25% short, 58% adequate, and 8% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 12% very short, 35% short, 49% adequate, and 4% surplus. 7% of the expected oat crop has been planted, 2 days behind last year but 2 days ahead of the 5-year average. Pastures were still mostly dormant. Livestock conditions were generally good, although feedlots were wet after the week's rain. Producers report calving is continuing. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Bond.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cold and wet across most of Illinois. There was an average of only 0.8 of 1 day suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture level was reported as 5% short, 53 adequate and 42% surplus. There were scattered reports of planting, tillage, and other field work, but mostly the machines stayed in the sheds. Temperatures averaged 41 degrees, and that was 6.5 degrees below normal for this time of year. Rainfall totals averaged 1.66 inches across the prairie state, and that was 7/10 of an inch above normal. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 9% very poor, 22 poor, 21 fair, 35 good, and 13% excellent. 1 year ago, the wheat crop was reported in better shape, with 9% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 17 fair, and 74% of acres were in good to excellent condition 1 year ago. Pasture conditions last week were rated 20% very poor to poor, 32 fair, and 48% good to excellent. I would like to thank all the people that responded to the crop progress and condition report this week. We really appreciate your assistance in telling the story of Illinois agriculture. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Cool and damp conditions in Minnesota prevented field work over much of the state. There were 0 days suitable for field work during the week. There were scattered reports of manure and fertilizer application on dry land. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 4% very short, 11% short, 66% adequate, and 19% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 6% very short, 20% short, 69% adequate, and 5% surplus. Many reports mention frozen ground and snow cover. No issues were reported with calving and livestock. Farmers were working on getting field equipment ready for the upcoming planting season. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress reports. Well, let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, thank you for being with us. However, you are not in Cheyenne. I hear you're in Nebraska. Where are you?
Yes, I'm in Kearney, Nebraska, speaking to a Nebraska Bankers Conference. And sometimes when you invite a weatherman to come, sometimes they bring rain. And I brought a total of 7 or 8 raindrops. And I was told that wasn't quite enough.
Well, I know that when we reported on the crop progress report that came out from USDA yesterday and that we just heard on our program, Nebraska was running behind. They had 5.5 working days last week, but it appears they just didn't bother to plant any corn. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, certainly. That's the opinion, especially across central Nebraska, that has just not gotten the precipitation that the far east and southeastern areas of Nebraska has seen so far this early spring season. So really, they're waiting for better conditions. And despite 5 good days of weather, it's just not the right time yet.
Anything in the way of rainfall for them coming up?
Not very much. Unfortunately, it's going to be more windy than rain, at least for what's left of this week. Prospects maybe get better next week for that part of the United States. But what we're going to see for this week, Todd, is a pretty decent-sized storm system develop up into the northeastern plains around the eastern areas of North Dakota, northeast South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. They're going to see some rain and snow, a lot of wind associated with this system on the western side of the storm, and it will drag a cold front through the Corn Belt. Showers, thunderstorms, and cooler weather will move into Indiana, Illinois, into Ohio, parts of eastern areas of Iowa as that system heads east.
How much rainfall and who gets the most?
Well, I'm going to see, from what I'm seeing, is the heaviest rain is probably going to be a combination of rain and snow for central and northern areas of Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, and eastern areas of North Dakota. We're also going to see some 1/2 to 1.25 inch rains that will stretch across Illinois, parts of Indiana as well.
In the southeast, maybe the Delta region, they've been wet. They usually get us started for the growing season, especially related to corn and soybean.
Yeah, wet conditions have been something that's been a constant, really, all the way going back to the fall season and through the winter. And right now, there continues to be a pattern that will continue to favor more wet in some of those Delta areas. So they're going to be the opposite situation of other areas like where I'm at here in central Nebraska. It's too dry up here, too wet in some of those areas in the Delta.
Do the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana continue to get rainfall every 3 to 5 days, and for how long?
I think so. There is going to be another storm system, could be a very large, slow-moving storm system developing in the plain states during the early to middle portions of next week that will eventually send another frontal system through. This would be probably around, as early as Tuesday, but more likely Wednesday and Thursday of next week. So I do see other opportunities.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Gary Schnuke has penned another article for the FarmDoc Daily website. This one's entitled Nitrogen Fertilizer Prices and Supply in Light of the Ukraine-Russia Conflict. Thank you, Gary. I'd ask why you did this, but it's pretty clear why that's the case. Can we start maybe with some background on nitrogen and the high prices of fertilizer as it's related to the price of corn and what you saw going into the fall?
Yeah, so coming into the fall of 2021, we saw corn prices rise and nitrogen fertilizer prices rise. And there is a very strong relationship between the price of nitrogen fertilizer and corn prices. In fact, if you look at the relationship between nitrogen fertilizer prices, anhydrous ammonia in particular, corn price, and natural gas price, there's a stronger relationship between corn price and anhydrous ammonia price. That relationship would have been saying that we should have something like $900 to $1,000 per ton anhydrous ammonia price this fall. So, and that was following it pretty closely, but then it went away. But you know, if you think about it, up till August, up to about October of 2021, anhydrous ammonia prices were going up for the same reason corn prices were going up. You know, the impacts of COVID, general inflation, and all those things were causing those prices to go up.
You used Yara as an example out of Europe and what it did in response to the high price of natural gas.
Yeah. So if you look at US and Europe, there are dramatically different natural gas prices in US, and Europe has much higher natural gas prices than the US. And that began to happen lot in 2020, but really, really became evident in summer of 2021. And as a result of the high natural gas prices in Europe, well, we saw a curtailment of nitrogen fertilizer prices or production in Europe. Yara, which is a Norwegian firm, large manufacturer nitrogen fertilizer there, cut production 30% in September and October and November. So that cut corresponded with our prices here in the United States going up significantly above what we would expect those prices to be given typical relationships between corn and natural gas.
Now, because of the conflict in Ukraine, Western Europe has a new policy as it's related to natural gas.
Yeah, they want to wean themselves off of Russian natural gas. So Europe depends on Russian natural gas. It supplies 40% of its natural gas. So if it wants to cut the proportion of natural gas coming from Russia, it's going to have to get those natural gases sources from other sources, but it's going to increase the price of natural gas in Western Europe considerably because it is.
Does that have an impact on availability of anhydrous ammonia as well there?
So if their manufacturers are using natural gas, the cost is going to go up. And so the cost of nitrogen fertilizer and anhydrous ammonia produced there will be much higher. That will cause demands North American producers will be able to ship to that market, more likely to the Brazilian market as well, because Brazil depends on Russia for a sizable portion of its nitrogen needs. So we're going to see, because of that Russian-Ukraine conflict, you know, Europe and Brazil are going to be looking for other sources of nitrogen fertilizers, and the U.S. is one of those areas they can look to.
Have the companies in the United States responded?
So right now we're you know, we don't have a lot of readings on anhydrous ammonia prices at the farm levels since the Ukraine-Russia conflict began. Last reading we had in Illinois suggested anhydrous ammonia price of $1,516, which is about the same as it was before the conflict began. But we will likely see U.S. North American producers increase capacity and have opportunities to market nitrogen elsewhere. You know, about 10% of the nitrogen fertilizers produced in the United States come from outside the United States. One of those is Trinidad and Tobago, and they're pretty close to Brazil. So that source of nitrogen may be moving to another location. In any case, the conflict is going to cause nitrogen fertilizers to increase in price. I would expect that to have more of a ramification on the 2023 crop than on the 2022 crop. My guess is that most farmers have their nitrogen locked up for this year and priced. And so those ramifications will be felt much larger in the 2023 year than in the 2022 year.
Is there any reason to scrutinize the pricing that has been in place?
So North American companies have natural gas prices are high, follow corn prices. They are under scrutiny by the USDA and other agencies at this point in time. Frankly, I think you can look at the conditions and say, this is, if you had a war in the Ukraine, Russia, Europe, natural gas prices increasing, you would simply expect nitrogen prices to be going up here. Having said that, the North American producers will likely have a very good year this year because they have relatively inexpensive natural gas prices and a good demand for nitrogen fertilizers.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's Gary Schnitke. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You may read his article entitled Nitrogen Fertilizer Prices and Supply in Light of the Ukraine-Russia Conflict on the FarmDoc Daily website. The address there, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.